This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Final hour of overtime here on The Fan. I promised at the beginning of the show that we'd hit the four major sports. We've hit hockey. We've hit football. We've hit basketball. It's time to hit some baseball. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So, G&D, we're talking about this a little bit earlier today. I think this is a step forward for the game of baseball. I'm not a huge fan of overuse of technology in sports, but I think using it in the correct way and with the correct rules and regulations in place, it's a good thing. I think we need to speed up reviews and all the sports. I think we need to do some of these various things. But I think in general that technology has been good for sports. So the newest way that we're going to use technology is the automatic balls and strikes system. And they're testing it out in spring training. They're testing out the challenge system. So right now, the way it works, Major League Baseball had tweeted this out, that they're testing it out in the they tested it out in the minor leagues. Now they're testing it out with major league players for the first time. About 60% of spring training games are going to be played using this challenge system. The challenge rules are each team starts the game with two challenges. Only the batter, the pitcher, or the catcher can challenge an umpire's call. Love that, by the way. A challenge must be made immediately after the umpire's call without assistance from the dugout or other players. A scoreboard graphic will show the location of the pitch and the result. Successful challenges are retained. You only lose your challenge if the umpire's call is confirmed. I love this, by the way. I think this gives accountability to umpires. I think this makes it so that with only two strikes, essentially, because that's essentially how it works. You have unlimited challenges, essentially, with two strikes. Once you get two strikes, you're gone. But I think that this makes a lot of sense for the sport because it gives accountability to umpires. And I think borderline pitches will still be a thing that, you know, in big spots, maybe they'd be challenged, but if you throw a borderline pitch in the third inning, I don't know that that's suddenly going to get challenged and changed, because if you're wrong, you don't want to risk losing, you know, or having a strike or losing one of those challenges. So I think this actually is good for the game. The thing that I love about this the most is the rule that they have listed second here. Only the batter, the pitcher, or the catcher can challenge an umpire's call. And then it has to be immediately after the call. It's not going to change the pace of play really at all, because that's a major part of the new initiative with Major League Baseball is the pitch clock and all these things. I think you're only adding an extra maybe 10, 15 seconds between the next pitch, if that, because it's going to be quick. You know, if the pitcher throws it, doesn't like the call that it's a ball, then he'll just tap his head and immediately they're sending it to review. Catcher, same thing. Batter, same thing. It's so quick. And I like that it's not the same stuff that we see all the time where it's umpire peering into the dugouts and you've got the manager with the hand up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. You got the guy on the phone saying run it go challenge it. And that takes way too long, in my opinion. That takes far too long. I feel like you need to make a decision whether you're going to challenge it or not. Make your decision.
How quick is that decision, though?
This one?
Yeah.
Immediate. Like, as in...
Like, what if it's like, if I wait to say 2 seconds, is that too long?
Like...
Because I could see arguments being like, well, I think they're probably legit.
Like, it's one of those things that's an understood general idea. Like, you can't, if you're stepping out of the box and tapping your helmet, that'll count. If you step out of the box, readjust your batting gloves, and then tap your helmet while you're stepping back in, I think that would be wrong.
I know, but there's going to be gray area where someone's like, it's going to be right on the cusp, and then it's going to create an argument.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely probably going to happen. There are certain things that you can't, fully help. I get that. But I think the understanding here is that it's going to be very, very quickly afterwards.
Okay.
They would have to stipulate, I'm sure, in the rules to make it a little... But common sense, Vic. Common sense.
How many times have we had common sense and we don't get common sense?
I mean, it's true. But I think I prefer this over... the full thing, where it's either all automatic balls and strikes or all umpire. I like this. Because the thing that I want to get out of the game, Vic, is I want to get out of the pitch was in the other batter's box. Bad pitches. I need that out of the game. The egregious call that rings up James Wood in a 3-2 count in the eighth inning with runners on first and second, two outs. I need to get rid of the egregious call that's 4 inches off the plate.
Pitch right down the middle for ball one.
Yeah, we need to get rid of that. The stuff that's borderline, that's like right on the edge, I have no issue with. It's borderline. It happens. It's what you're taught all the time, right? When you're growing up playing baseball, what do they tell you? You don't want to depend on the umpire. If it's close, foul it off. When two strikes, it's close, foul it off. If you go with the fully automated system, it changes a little bit of that. Ryan was talking about this earlier, saying it's important about the framing. I don't even care about the framing, to be honest. I don't mind getting rid of that aspect of the game. But I love that we can at least make it so that the egregious calls can be out of the game of baseball, because those are the ones that hurt. It's one thing if it's close, you go, okay, he just missed it. It just missed. Or it was just inside of just a bad call. I can live with those. I just can't stand the absolutely egregious ones like it seems like we see time after time after time after time in Major League Baseball that can ultimately decide games, because if you've got a guy like a Juan Soto on your team, which obviously we don't hear anymore, but if you've got a guy like a James Wood, actually, is a better example for now, where he has an incredibly patient approach, and he was constantly getting hosed with horrendous low strike calls. Well, that'd be nice to be able to say, that ain't a strike. He's getting rung up all the time on some of these things. It'd be nice to be able to say, instead of for him going from a 1-1 count to a 1-2 count with a bad call where he's suddenly battling, from a 1-2 count to a 2-1 count where suddenly he's the aggressor in the at-bat. Those sorts of things make a big difference in a baseball game, even though it seems like it's just a difference of one pitch. That's a big difference. Going from 1-2 to 2-1 is a huge difference. And, I mean, you watched all the games and listened to the games last year, working the games, Vic. How many times did Charlie and Dave complain about a low strike call to James Wood?
Having
the ability for James Wood to say, all right, too much, and change that, I think would mean something.
It's a huge difference, especially on a 2-1 count. I mean, it's a huge difference to be 3-1 or 2-2.
Yeah.
Massive. It's all throughout
the count, too. I mean, just all throughout the count. Not even, I know a lot of people's examples are, I want to, and the biggest example is, I don't want to have a guy rung up on a pitch that's way outside the zone. But to your point, you can take any count. 0-0, low strike. Now you're 0-1 versus 1-0. 1-0 count. It's 1-1 or 2-0. All of these counts.
It seems really small to the common person, but it means so much in the game of baseball.
I mean, it literally changes your approach. It changes the pitchers, how they're going to attack you, all these things. So I think it makes sense to at least involve this. What's your take on this, Vic? Do you want to see the full automatic balls and strikes? Do you want to see this challenge system? Are you in favor of it? Where do you land on it?
I actually want, I actually want the full ABS.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just because I want things right. You know, how hard is it to – we have the technology for it. Why do we have to rely on an umpire who will probably make 10 to 15 mistakes potentially in a game when it comes to balls and strikes? Those 10 to 15 could be make the difference of winning or losing a game. And instead of just challenging it, we have the technology to show it. You know, how hard is it to have the umpire have someone in his ear tell him, ball, strike, and he makes the signal as if he was calling it live? How hard is it for
Believe
for that?
Me, I've seen the technology in work.
Right. Like, so just
it's very sudden and very immediate.
Right. So you could have someone in his ear, let you go, ball, strike. And he just and he does his same motions or tells everyone like you won't even notice it when you're watching on TV.
Yeah. No, and, I think it's a good point. I mean, it is something that could be seamless.
And I know it destroys the art of framing for catchers when it comes to framing
pitchers.
I don't
even care about that, honestly.
I know, but now you don't have to worry about framing pitchers.
You know how nice
Keibert Ruiz, that helps him a lot.
You know how nice that would be for the Nats and Keibert Ruiz
yes.
that he doesn't have to try and frame pitches? Now he can just worry about throwing down to second?
Yes.
That'd fix a lot of problems.
Yes.
800-636-1067, what's your take on the automatic balls and strikes system that they're trying out in spring training with the challenge system? You want to see it full automated? You want to see it full umpire? Where do you stand on 800-636-1067? We'll get some of your phone calls on the MGM National Harbor listener line next. You can also tweet at me, @Toby_Altizer. Wrapping up the show, we'll get into a little bit of the Nationals, the MLB stock report from ESPN going into the offseason. We'll talk about that as well. More to come here on Overtime on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for another 40 minutes here on a Friday night in the district. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in, talk a little bit of baseball. So Major League Baseball is testing out the challenge system with automatic balls and strikes in spring training. Are you a fan of it? 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's get out to Chris in Damascus. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. First of all, you probably won't believe my answer to this question. I can't judge anything I haven't seen, so I have no idea. But I'm one of those guys, I don't like the DH. I don't like the pitchers not hitting. How can you play baseball if one guy doesn't have to own a bat and the other guy doesn't have to ever own a glove? You know what I mean? That's kind of silly, but I'm fascinated about this one. Especially this, and because it can only make it better. If they're going to show every pitch on television or just on that scoreboard? So I mean, if we're going, so we should be able to record every umpire. Like Angel Hernandez would probably get 60% right, and we can get rid of the poor umpires and all that. And that should, and it should also kind of exclude the framing. If you're a good framer, it shouldn't matter. It's either over the plate or not. As a pitcher, which I'm more pro pitcher, kind of, sort of, I'm throwing that ball in high and tight. That high strike zones, the taller batters, I'd want, you know what I mean? I'm fascinated to hear what it go, hear how it goes. And then one last thing for you, both you gentlemen. Do you all recall, you may recall, it was last year, it was a weekend series against the Chicago White Sox. I think it was in Chicago, and it was a rain out on Saturday, and you had a doubleheader on Sunday. I think it was, and then it rained on that Sunday, and they had delays, and they put on Bustin' Loose Baseball during the delay.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that up only because we need a regular week show at least, where an hour, that was one of the best shows you all got, your all show, and for some of us who are always listening to the radio, who don't always have an app or a cell phone interface and just check out the radio, that was great while I was waiting on the delay. I got so much information. It was a great show. And just, that's me trying to request, like,
sure,
a regular week show. And you guys did good. I love all that nerdy stuff, all the analytics. And this will get into it with the umpires. We'll know
sure.
who's what. And I can only imagine sitting in the stands if I know every pitch was missed. Like, okay, I didn't challenge that one, but I saw it was missed. I can see the chirping getting more from the dugouts or less. Or, you know what I mean? I'm fascinated.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm fascinated to see how it goes.
Chris, appreciate the phone call. And
thank you for doing your show.
I'll have to grab that clip and let CK know that you want to hear a little more Bustin' Loose Baseball.
Phil Wood was always great. We need a weekly nat, like an hour or so on a weekend, Saturday, Sunday, sometime, like a scheduled thing. Vic is great. Vic's underrated, by the way, and he deserves his ring.
I might think he might be a little overrated, but appreciate it, Chris.
All right, thank you.
Listen, I'm going to use this as a shameless time to plug the podcast Bustin' Loose Baseball with the great Grant Paulson and the very mediocre Toby Altizer talking a little bit of Nationals baseball. We just dropped one earlier this week, so you can check that out wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see, maybe as the season goes on, we can incorporate that a little more into our on-air schedule. But yeah, I mean, I think the automatic balls and strikes is going to be interesting. So the one thing that Chris was talking, I don't know that he'll necessarily do, you can kind of do this already a little bit with the internet and baseball savants, or you want to go on MLB.com and follow the pitch tracker. You can kind of see whether the pitch was good or not in terms of their call. You can kind of see now the official strike zone that, you know, executives and people in baseball actually get to look at versus what we're looking at on MLB.com is not the same, but it's pretty close, right? I mean, it changes, obviously, depending on height. I don't know that it does that necessarily as much on MLB.com, but you at least get an idea of whether the pitch was good or not. But to Chris's point, whenever someone challenges it, it goes up on the big screen. Think of tennis, right? When you see, is it in or out? And the guy challenges it, and you get that slow-mo replay of the elongated ball.
And you hear the crowd build up as you see. Yeah.
All that, that's going to happen in Major League Baseball if this is implemented, where it shows the path of the pitch, and then it shows where it crosses the plane of the front of the plate, and it says strike, or it says ball, call reversed, or call stands, whatever. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think it would add an accountability for umpires because, frankly, then you could definitely have a system where you can, yeah, this umpire sucks. He gets challenged more than any umpire in Major League Baseball at the highest percentage. Or, you know, this umpire is actually really good and sharp. People don't challenge him very much, and when they do, it's, you know, borderline stuff, whatever. I think that would help out the game in a lot of ways, where instead of going fully automated, you at least have still some of the human element where the borderline pitches are still borderline, but you get in a way to get rid of the egregious stuff. Because that, to me, is a lot of what it is in all of sports. Like, if you told me you could get rid of some of these reviews and stuff in sports, I probably would. I just want to get rid of the egregious stuff. I know there's no way to really legislate that, but like, to me, we're watching basketball right now, Vic. I can't remember what game it was. I think it was a Final Four game a couple years ago. that really frustrated me where someone swiped at a ball and it was initially ruled off of the defender, but as they slowed it down frame by frame, it actually grazed off of the offensive guy's finger last, and like you could only tell because you slowed it down. Then it goes to the defense. Like, to me, that stuff, like, if you got rid of that, I'd be totally fine with it. I just want to get rid of, like, how did he not see that that was off so-and-so, right? Like, that sort of stuff. Get rid of the egregious stuff, and then I can live with some human error in there.
I even want to go a step further. You know, we have in the NFL, we have the replay assist.
Yeah.
I want some form of replay assist in Major League Baseball. And we're talking, like, foul balls. Was it foul tipped? I mean, we've had some instances where, oh, that ball was clearly fouled, and the umpire says, strike three. You didn't foul it, kind of thing. Or hit by pitches. I mean, the egregious stuff like you're saying. So we've had some bad calls in Major League Baseball where it was so egregious, and they couldn't do anything because it's not reviewable or something like that. Well, why don't we have replay assist in Major League Baseball, too?
Yeah, and also that it's not reviewable. Well, what the heck are we doing?
Right.
How do we legislate what is reviewable and what isn't?
Well, if we had replay assist, they just change things with common sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't hate that at all. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to take a look at Major League Baseball's stock report from ESPN. How does it have the Nationals faring this season? We'll get your thoughts on it, too, if you'd like. 800-636-1067. We'll break it all down for you next here on The Fan. Sports calendar just keeps on rolling on. It is crazy to think that spring training is here. The Nationals have their first action of the year tomorrow. Slick Vic getting back in the swing of things. Running the board for Charlie and Dave. You excited about that, Vic?
I'm pumped, man.
The season
of silence is officially over.
Slick Vic and the boys are back tomorrow on the Team 980 at 1 o'clock.
And then Sunday, we have National Spring Training Live hosted by Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. Who's our guest?
Jacob Young and Evan Reifert. Reifert was the reliever that was drafted in the Rule 5 draft. So he's going to be a part of the team. By the way, you want to know the best job in baseball? Rule 5 draft pick.
Yeah.
You have the best job security you'll have in your entire career as a Rule 5 draft pick. Because you can't go anywhere, otherwise you end up going back to your original team. So, right. I like that. I don't love this Wizards possession, by the way. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what's going on. But regardless, okay, we'll keep an eye on that down the stretch. 104-101. Milwaukee with the lead with 5 seconds to go. This will be interesting to see. Do you draw something up for Chris Middleton to see if he can hit the game tying three?
He's already jacked one.
He hit one late. Yeah. A big one late. But let's take a look at the ESPN MLB stock report that they put together. Toby Altizer with you here for about another half hour. You want to hop in 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. So out of 30 teams, the Nationals ranked 27th on this stock report. The average, I'm guessing they ran a bunch of simulations. The win average last season was 66.7. They surpassed that. They won 71 games. The win average this season, according to their metrics and everything, 68.8% or 68.8 wins. The win total in Vegas last year was 66.5. This year, it is 70.5, so it's gone up 4 games for their win total over under. Their chance to make the playoffs, according to this, is up from 2% last year to 2.7%. Their chances of winning the World Series have gone, they've stayed the same, 0.0%. They have not gone anywhere. They're the exact same.
Not even 0.1?
Nope, 0.0%, according to this. Shock the world, Nats. Win it all.
Instead of 19-31, we'll just remember 0.0.
There we go. We'll throw it. What is it? Bumpy roads lead to beautiful places.
Yes.
These last couple years have been bumpy, Davey.
Yeah.
They've been a little bit bumpy. You know better than us because you've had to deal with it. These last couple years have been bumpy. By the way, they did draw up a shot for Chris Middleton, and he missed it. Incredibly difficult shot, by the way. But for the Nationals, so they put their expectation was noticeable improvement from a team that, when you think about it, has now been rebuilding for a long time. That is correct. their reality, they say. The new era of the Nationals is largely at hand. By the way, this is what I was discussing yesterday and why I was frustrated they didn't spend a little bit more. The new era of the Nationals is largely at hand. C.J. Abrams is established, though he still needs to stack two halves of baseball together in the same season. James Wood has arrived and should be joined in this year's outfield by Dylan Cruz. Brady House should join the party before long. The pitching staff should feature Mackenzie Gore. Well, I don't know that this, I don't know who wrote this, but they're maybe not the most up to date with what's going on. The pitching staff should feature Mackenzie Gore, Cade Cavalli. I don't know about that. And Mitchell Parker and other promising hurlers with live arms. Sorry about no mention of Jake Irvin in there.
Oh, man.
More talent is on the way, and the Nats hold the top pick in the Nats draft. The future looks good, but 2019 is well in the rearview mirror by now, and Washington needs to start winning big league games, and soon a climb into the mid-70s is a realistic win goal. So here's my issue, and this goes back to, because I think this is a real good dose of reality for Nationals fans. Not that many were being outrageous or unrealistic, but I think this kind of shows where they're at. ESPN says they could maybe get into the mid-70s. The problem is they've been to 71 the last couple of years. You want to see significant improvement. Do you feel like 76 wins is significant improvement? Not really, right? You want to see someone take a big step forward, and I just don't know that you're going to see that from this team this season. So it's really disappointing that the offseason just doesn't give you more hope that they can get to an 80-win mark. And look, I think they have some really, really good players. I think that some of these young guys are going to continue to get better. I'm excited to see what a full season of James Wood looks like. I'm excited to see what a full season of Dylan Cruz looks like. I'm excited to see what another year of Mackenzie Gore looks like. I'm excited to see what Jake Irvin can look like. I'm excited to see what DJ Hurz can do. By the way, I know a lot of people have kind of talked about this in various places. If you want a sleeper candidate for like an X-Factor sort of player or someone that could be a sneaky breakout candidate, DJ Hurz, I think, could be a big-time player for this team this season. Now, I don't know exactly what role he's going to play right away. I hope he's in the starting rotation. I hope it's not one of those cases that Mike Soroka gets that job because they signed him to that, when I'd rather just go ahead and see DJ Hurz, because frankly, Soroka as a starter the last, especially last year, was not that good. He was good as a reliever. I'd rather just go ahead and see DJ Hurz there, but I don't know exactly what role he's going to play right away. But I think he could really, really take a step forward this year. So I'm excited to see him and guys like Parker, and how do they grow. But some of the young guys, like, we'll talk about the pitching staff a little more. Gore, he got to a 3.9 ERA last season. I thought he pitched really well down the stretch after he had a rough spell in the middle of the year. I think if you can get some consistency out of him, you can see him grow into that pitcher that at one point was a top prospect in baseball, one of the top five guys, the top pitching prospect in baseball. So you just need some consistency out of him. I think for Jake Irvin, he's kind of established himself as a mid-rotation kind of guy, and he's shown you at times that he can pitch even a little bit better than that. So if you can get some long-term consistency now that these guys have gone through a long major league season and they've experienced it, if you can get some consistency out of him so that he can last the length of the season and not fall off a little at the end like he did this past season. I mean, Vic and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. I'm wearing the 4th of July hat from this past season. If you remember that game, Jake Irvin was nails. That game was very, very quick, and there was not a lot going on because that was a 1-0 ball game where Jake Irvin went 8 strong. Jesse Winker hit a home run, a solo shot in the bottom of the 8th. And then Derek Law ran in for the save with the American flag in 9th. That's the only action there was in that game. Jake Irvin was awesome in that, so he's showing you he can do it, because that was against the Mets. They can get it done, but he just needs to be a little more consistent. I think a lot of the Nats pitchers have kind of shown you that, where they can get it done for a night. They just need to find a way to get more consistency out of their starting pitching, because I think that's really the issue in the second half last year, where, you know, the year previous in 2023, it was a bad first half and a good second half. This past year was a really, really good first half and then a bad second half. A lot of it was dependent on their starting pitching, because frankly, in the first half, it's not like they were getting tons of offense. Their starting pitching was really good. They kind of fell back to a little bit more of maybe what you'd expect out of them, and in turn, their record really suffered.
Yeah, and for Mackenzie Gore, I think the biggest storyline for me is him. You know, is he going to be able to finish off hitters in two strike counts. I mean, his Achilles heel was the amount of foul balls.
100%.
With two strikes. And I think if he can find a way to finish off hitters quickly, I think he could have a stupendous year if he can do that. And that's the problem, is that can he do it?
He has to be pitch efficient, no doubt, because that's the big problem for him was how many times did he have a good outing going and then all of a sudden it'd get derailed because he'd have a 30-pitch inning. And suddenly this outing that looks like it's going to go six or seven is down to five. So if he can be more pitch efficient, for whatever reason last year his second inning numbers were bad, whatever that is, if he can figure that out. Jake Irvin, I think, is just about finding that consistency and being able to last the full season. Because, you know, we've got to remember, a lot of these guys, this is their really early on in their career where they're going through a full 162 where they're pitching into late September. They're not used to doing that. So getting used to that in a five-man rotation, I'll be intrigued if at points this season they go to a six-man, because I actually think they have enough guys to run a six-man. I don't know if you want to live on that, but I think, you know, maybe at certain points of the season if they need to give some guys some rest. But I want to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back and forth on this, Vic. Who are some guys that are going to be the ones that make the difference in this season? So I want to exclude, like, the top names. So not James Wood, not Dylan Cruz. Like, we'll maybe lay out some expectations for those guys. But who are the guys that if this guy has a good season on top of the big-time names doing their things, you could talk about this club going and being a really, really good ball club, or say if these guys struggle and don't do enough, suddenly this ball club isn't going to reach its expectations. We'll wrap the show up next with that. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan. Final couple minutes here of Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock. Talking a little Nationals baseball with the one and only Slick Vic Ferreira. So what I want to do is we're going to go through, let's establish the big four. Do we have the big four? Is that Wood, Cruz, Abrams? Well, you're not going to necessarily agree on maybe Gore being part of it fully.
Well, we already went through Gore.
Okay, so let's establish expectations for some of these guys. Okay. Gore, what would you be happy with?
You mean like as far as like 200 innings kind of deal?
Yeah, innings. Yeah. ERA, what do you want to see?
Innings. Because if he goes, if we have at least 200 innings, that means he's going deep in the ball games.
Okay.
So that would be my expectation for McKenzie. That means that we're having a good year, I think.
Yeah, I agree on that. Okay, so innings for Gore. What do we expect out of James Wood? GP and I had this discussion on the podcast. This is a good question for you, Vic. What's the number of home runs that you need to see, assuming he plays a full season? What's the number of home runs that you need to see to say, okay, this wasn't underwhelming? And then what's the number you'd say, wow? So to me, it's easy round numbers. If he hits 20 home runs, I'm happy. If he hits 30, it's wow.
Yeah, to me, I was going to say 25. If he hits 25, that's his baseline.
So you need to see 25. So
I
what
need
if
to
he
see 25.
If he hits 22, you're a little underwhelmed?
I will be underwhelmed if there's 22.
Okay.
And I think the big thing I need to see from James Wood, and it was kind of the story for him last year, was can he pull the ball? We need to see him pull the ball consistently, because when he does, that ball is going to travel, and it might result into a heck of a lot more home runs than we think.
Dylan Cruz, what do you need to see out of Cruz in his first full season in the bigs?
I want to see if we can get an average of 270. That's one of my keys out of Dylan Cruz, is because he's not going to be the home run hitter, but I want to see the all-around 270 average. I want to see him swipe at least 30 bags.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, if he can do, just get on base at a decent clip, drive the baseball a little bit, he's not going to be your big-time power hitter, but I think if he can create some havoc in the middle of the lineup and be that guy, like you said, to steal some bags, I think, yeah, around 270, get that average up a little bit. I think he's going to play really, really good defense. I don't think we're talking enough about that. The outfield defense in general, I think, is going to be really, really good. With JY in center field, you got Cruz in right and Wood in left. That's three dudes who have played center field at a pretty good level. I want to see improvement from Wood defensively too, like we were talking about. I want to see improvement there, but I think you're going to get really good defense out of Cruz, so that's going to be important. CJ, to me, what I want to see out of CJ is consistency. April last year, he looked like an MVP candidate.
He did.
May, He looked like an expendable player. You need to see him level out a bit. The peaks are awesome, and he looks like one of the best players in baseball. He shows you the potential. The problem is the valleys are so low. And it seems like the stuff from last year at the end of the year has been put behind him, so I'm not even going to worry about that. But I need to see some consistency month to month where it's not MVP caliber to replacement level, MVP caliber to replacement level. I just need you to play at an average level when you're not feeling it, and I can live with the fact that when you're feeling it, you're incredible.
Mm-hmm. And let's also not sleep on, at the end of the year, it seemed like CJ, I don't know if he was burnt out or anything, but his defense also took a bad turn, and I think also affected him at the plate. So I need to see CJ limit the errors, because it wasn't good at the end of the second half.
So let's take a look around some of the people on the roster that we think could make the difference between this team being another 71 ball club, win ball club, or maybe a little bit better. And we'll just kind of go back and forth on quick names on this. So we'll start with, I'll start first. I'll go first baseman Nathaniel Lowe. I think he's going to be a good defender. This is someone you acquired to be a big part of the lineup. I need to see him around that 20 homer mark. If you see him return to Silver Slugger Nathaniel Lowe, I think he's going to make a huge difference for this team.
Yep. And the Gold Glove. I think he's won a Gold Glove, right?
He won a Gold Glove, yeah.
And that was one of the issues we also had at first base was you're so used to guys like Adam LaRoche, Ryan Zimmerman, able to dig balls out of the dirt to help out the infield. That's going to be massive having Nathaniel Lowe at first base.
Yeah, it was a big part of last year, right? Or 2 years ago was Dom Smith and his ability. Regardless of what he provided at the plate, he was a good defender. And then this past season, they didn't have that. And I think you saw the defense drop a little bit, even though Luis Garcia took a big stride. But I think that was more so Louis improving versus someone saving him, which I think the year before, Dom Smith saved CJ a little bit, and he didn't have that this past season.
Because you saw when Shapiro was at first base, it was not good.
Who you got? Who's someone that you're looking at to help take this team to the next step?
Well, let's go with Luis Garcia Jr. at second. I mean, we saw what he did at the plate last year, but can he do it again this year? I think it's about consistency for Luis. Can he take the next step? And can he also take his walks too? I want to see him take a little bit more walks at the plate too, because he had the tendency to also be a little bit of a free swinger.
I would love to see him continue to do what he did last season, because I think there's a real possibility if he shows for a couple months of the season that he's the same guy, they might sign him long-term, and that might be your long-term second baseman.
And that's the thing is, like, he didn't get as much playing time because a lot of it was, well, he in spurts, Luis Garcia was awesome. But how about if we get a heavy dose of Luis Garcia when he's actually going up against lefties? Can sure. Luis Garcia go 1-for-4 or, you know, 2-for-4 at the plate?
Yeah, just salvage some games. Yeah, we know you're not going to be great, but just salvage some games lefty on lefty. Another name for me, Jacob Young. I think defensively, this is going to be a strength of this team. So it's interesting because you look at the defense of this team, catcher's not good, shortstop's not below average, third base is a question mark depending upon who's playing there, second base I would say is around average, first base is good. I think outfield is excellent. Left field with James Wood, I think, is a little bit of a question depending upon how he continues to adapt over there, but general consensus of him in his time in the minors is plus defender. Dylan Cruz won a Gold Glove at LSU in center field, so you got a guy now playing right field that played center field, and Jacob Young should have won the Gold Glove last season, in my opinion, in center field. And so if that's the case, if you have an outfield like that where JY can just track any ball that has any air under it, I think that plays big. And if you can get a guy like JY, the comp I always give is D. Gordon. When he was at his best for some of the teams where he's not hitting a lot of home runs, I think the most he hit in a year was 4. I think JY maybe can get a little bit more than that. But if JY were to only hit 2 home runs again this season but raises his own base percentage to .330, and you get him on base where he can steal 40-plus bags, then I don't necessarily have to have you hitting all the homers because I'm having you batting 9th. I'm getting you on base to steal bags for the guys at the top of the order, and you're playing plus defense. So I think if he can do those things, you're looking at a difference maker who's playing in a 9-hole and playing Gold Glove caliber defense for you in center field.
That's right on the money there. Everything you said, I echo that.
Who's your next guy?
Keibert Ruiz. I mean, and we're talking about both sides, offense and defense, in particular defense. I mean, ranked at the very bottom, Ruiz was when it comes to, you know, throwing out base stealers. We're going to have to improve that. You got to improve the running game by, or eliminating the other team's running game by throwing guys out. And I don't know how you do that. Maybe it was mechanics, or was it on the pitcher? Either way, we're going to need Ruiz to start throwing out base runners, or it could be a tough time for our starters.
Well, and then on the flip side, offensively, if you remember in 2023, he was coming off an encouraging time, and especially the second half, he had 18 homers, 67 runs batted in, hit for .260 average with a .409 slug. You would take that on a pretty regular basis. Last year, it dropped back down to 13 homers, 57 runs batted in, .229 average, and only a .359 slug, a .619 OPS. He doesn't give you enough defensively, like you said, to be someone that I can depend on just for that. I need a little bit more at the plate from him. All right, remember
Ruiz. I mean, he was swinging at balls that were above his head, which happened. He actually ended up hitting a home run with a ball at his eye.
He can hit anything, and that's his problem. He swings at anything.
Way too swing happy, though.
If he can have some discipline in 2023 when he went on a little bit of a hot streak, I think a little bit of last year as well, it's when he was more disciplined and just swung at stuff in the zone. He can literally hit anything. That's what his elite skill is. His bat-to-ball skills are literally almost second to none in all of Major League Baseball. He's that good. The issue is, he swings at anything. All right, we'll give you each one more. I'll give you mine. Jose A. Ferrer. And this can go with anyone in the back end of the bullpen, really. But Ferrer, because I think they want him to be the closer. I think they want him to earn that role. They're not going to give it to him right away. If they're facing, you know, Davey was on with G&D and said if they had to close the game right now, it'd be situational. Lefties, you're going to have Ferrer. Righties, you're going to have Lopez. But if Ferrer early in the season shows that he can get guys out in big, high-leverage spots, I think they're going to give him every chance to be the closer because I think they want him to be that guy and play high-leverage spots going forward. So if Ferrer steps up and shows that he can be that kind of guy, I think you'll see him used a lot and could play a big role for this team this year.
Mm-hmm. And what about, I can't even pronounce his name. Is it Agazawa?
The new pitcher that we signed?
The new pitcher that we just
Shinosuke
signed.
Shinosuke Agazawara.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what he can bring to the table here. I mean, I don't know much about him, but I guess he did well. Okay. I know his record didn't say so last year.
But he gives you someone that either starts or could come out of the pen, a lefty, to help you out. So, yeah, I think he could play a big role. Now, he's not overpowering. He's not Roki Sasaki coming out of Japan.
Right.
But he could give you a little bit of something. I think it'll be big.
If you can pitch to contact and make sure your defense plays defense, he could have a decent year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's going to be big this season is their defense, I think, is going to play a big part in whether they're able to win ball games or not. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. Appreciate everyone that called in and joined the program. That was a lot of fun to talk about some sports memorabilia, all that fun stuff. It was really good hanging out with you guys on a Friday night. I believe I'll be back on tomorrow at noon so you can listen to me then talking a little bit before Hokies game late tomorrow night. For Slick Vic Ferreira, I'm Toby Altizer. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Friday.